in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, everyone.
Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy.
Okay, well, here we go again. Hit replay. Thank you for joining us. You know, I have to apologize first because we have had some very interesting technical situations trying to get this show up and running. And I can only laugh about it because when you get close to the truth, too close to the truth, expect a lot of flack. A lot of misdirection, a lot of interference. And it takes me back to my first days on radio, 15 years ago, back on old Blog Talk. And you would go to Blog Talk through Skype. Then you get in, and as a backup, I would call in with my cell phone and with my home phone at the time. So when I got knocked off of Skype, I had a backup to Blog Talk. And I'd swear every time we started touching a sensitive subject, Skype would go down. Well, we live in a little bit more digital age now. But when you have difficulties, and it seems to be mostly on Rumble as we're broadcasting, there hasn't been a clean show put up on Rumble yet, and it's due to Rumble's issues. So I have to apologize. We are facing a lot of technical issues, but hey, let's work through this, and we'll all cover a lot of truths, and we're going to cover some truths tonight. And it's interesting. I love having conversations with people that say, "Oh, well, the Bible's been this, the Bible's been that, the Bible's been something else, whatever." Yeah, it's kind of curious that the Bible has 66 books. Wait a minute. And they had to split two of the books in order to get to 66. What's going on here? So we know the Bible's incomplete. There's other books that should have been put in there. And when I'm talking about the general Bible that we accept today. But the part which has been preserved was preserved for a reason. And take argument with what you wish. The argument really isn't with the written word. The argument should lie with those who have turned the written word into a book of dogma and doctrines and misdirection. So the general public never learns the truth. And what we want to cover today, and that's part of this whole network's goal, is to cover the truth. So the truth is, we're here to stay. We're not going anywhere because we've got timely information to deliver. We've talked about a little bit where we came from. We didn't exactly discuss how we got here, but a lot of people have a lot of concerns, and that's what I want to address tonight. It's the times in which we live. And we see so much going on, especially with the government shutdown. And you watch the news, and the general news is so misdirected. But even if you watch the alternative news people that are out there, they're reporting what they're seeing or what they're being told or that the propaganda that we're being fed now, regardless of what it is, but it still seems nobody's got a clue. We keep on looking for answers, and it's like nothing is really happening, or is it? And we just don't comprehend. And I'm going to really not cover a whole lot of prophecy per se. The Bible is prophecy, but it's kind of related to exactly where we are. And think about what we've seen in the news, whether it's been internet news or your fake news that the three-letter agency has put out. But this is from 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and Paul is telling this to Timothy, and he says, "But know this, that in the last days, critical times, hard to deal with, will be here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, self-assuming, haughty, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, disloyal, having no natural affection, not open to any agreement, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, without love of goodness, betrayers, headstrong, puffed up with pride." What kind of pride, I wonder? "Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God." Oh, that pride. Okay. So we look around us, and that's really what we see. We see corruption wherever it can possibly be. We've been put into, as a population, and honestly, I think we're better off here than any other country, at least at the present time, even though it is difficult, critical times, hard to deal with. They're here. Look at the inflation that we've gone through over the last 10, really the last 10 years, but my whole life has been an inflationary period. I'll put something in perspective. In 1964, the minimum wage was, I believe, $1.25 an hour. And guess what? You could be paid in silver change, coinage, because at that time we still had some half dollars, but we had silver half dollars. The Kennedy, the first year the Kennedy half dollar printed was in silver. They didn't change the content of the coin yet to a copper alloy. So in 1964, we still had silver half dollars, silver quarters, and silver dimes. If we kept that minimum wage today, you're looking at getting paid somewhere approximately $60 an hour when you start doing the conversions. $60 an hour, minimum wage, because that is the price of silver is around $50 now. I haven't been following it, but I know it approached 50, and then you got to do some conversions for the buck and a quarter an hour. But wow, if we all made $60 an hour in 1964, we'd be making minimum wage. Think about that. Think about that. Critical times, hard to deal with. So when you go to buy your groceries or your gas, well, we have seen gas prices coming down, and allegedly grocery prices are starting to come down. But still, we live in critical times. It's difficult to, you know, I love this one saying, started in my professional career, chemistry. When you're up to your ass in alligators, it's difficult to remember that your initial objective was to drain the swamp. And so, you know, we've heard a lot about the swamp being drained. Let's see how that continues to work out. And I think it will, actually, but we're going to have some pretty difficult times before we get back on a road to where we can take a deep breath. If you've been studying what's been going on with this whole situation with Trump, I've made the correlation that what we're seeing is the birth of the eighth world power in Revelation 17. And the seventh world power was the Anglo-American dual world power. And that was obvious after World War II. And then the United States became a superpower after we turned around and won the war with Saddam, the Gulf War One, or whatever we called it. But the Gulf War was a few days, and it was pretty much over. And the United States became a superpower. What's happened since then? There's been a total infiltration of this country to bring it down and destroy it. And we're starting to really see the fruits of that now, thanks to the last administration, whether how much the actual real Biden had to do with that and how much Obama had to do with that. Well, maybe one day we'll find out. But there's a lot of corruption and there's a lot of distraction. Hello, Jeffrey Epstein. We'll release emails. How's that working out for you? So we get distracted in a lot of different ways. And it's almost like a circus, a three-ring circus, whether you're going to watch Washington or watch some other part of the country, or you start learning that there's interesting things going down in other places, especially New York City. Hello, congratulations. You folks now have a communist Islamic mayor. Let's see how long it's going to take to count down the Sharia law. But I don't think it'll last that long because there's disaster on the horizon on both coasts, both New York City and, unfortunately, New York State as well. And in California, there's going to be some serious issues there. There's going to be serious issues in a lot of states because of the infiltration. Are you a blue state or a red state? Unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. Where have the aliens been scattered? And I'm talking about the illegal kind, not the we are here to save you kind. So where are they scattered? Where are they concentrated? Ask Ilhan Omar. Anyway, we'll have to see how this works out, but it's a dangerous situation, especially if you're currently living in New York City. I thought it was 7,000 people just, and this was the day of the, that it was the day after the election, and that number has grown to, then I heard 70,000, that now I'm hearing much higher numbers than that of people who are ready to leave New York City. And let's see, what was Mondani's plan? Oh, we're going to tax the rich. Oh, you mean those people who have residences in different parts of the country and just hired to do a business in New York City now? See ya. Riscala, our great producer. Riscala, you had some information on New York City. Would you mind just chiming in on that? No? Well, I guess he's producing it and not chiming, but when he gets back, he had some interesting things we talked about. It's what 500 of New York City's finest, the police force, I believe is what Riscala had said, that he had heard are retiring come January 1st. Oh, that's okay, because the police force was going to be defunded anyway. And then they would probably come out with some Islamic patrol in one of the things I thought was interesting was Curtis Sliwa running for mayor of New York City. But how did this guy Mondani beat out both him and the former governor of New York, Cuomo? So it's critical times. If you're a resident in New York and you can't move, and you're kind of stuck there and you got to put up with it, my heart goes out to you. And hey, I spent a lot of time in New York City. I love Times Square, and it's a great place to be. Very impressive. You gotta love the lights. Most of my life, I've lived within 50 to 100 miles of New York City. I was born right across the river from the city, so there's a lot of connection there over the years, like it or not. But I used to spend a lot of time in the museums when I would go over there. That would be my main purpose to go over. Generally, I was going to go to the museum. Where else would a scientist go? You know, it was in all lights and glamour. But it's a big change that's gone on there because of the corruption, because of the infiltration. And you have to take note of what is happening around you. And then turn around and through prayer and supplication, do your best. If you don't like the situation you're in, then change the situation. How do I do that? I have a better relationship with our creator, and you'll find out exactly how. Our connection to the multiverse and the power of the multiverse and the creative intelligence of the multiverse is all up to us. That power's there. How do you tap into it? Yeah, that's another show, and we'll get to that. But the one other thing I did want to read, and this is where it got real for me. It got real for me in 2013, I believe it was. It seems like it was not all that long ago. But in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and this is where it got real for me, and I'll explain it. The disciples gather around Jesus, and they ask him, what's going to be the sign of your presence and your coming? And the conclusion of this system of things. And in answer, Jesus said to them, and this is Matthew 24:4. In answer, Jesus said to them, make sure that nobody misleads you, for many will come on my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. We've already started to see that happen. You're going to hear of wars and reports of wars. See that you are not terrified, for these things must take place. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be food shortages and earthquakes in one place after another. And all these things are a beginning of the pangs of distress. Then people will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be objects of hatred by all nations on account of my name. Then also many will be stumbled and will betray one another, and they will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Well, I can think of one or two off the top of my head, but there are some people that are very knowledgeable. In 13, it says, but he that has endured to the end is the one that shall be saved. Very important words there. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached to the entire inhabited earth for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So everybody's got to learn what we're facing before the termination of this system of evil takes place. But we're on the cusp. Now, here's where my attention was caught, and I'll explain why. It said, therefore, when you catch sight of the disgusting thing that causes desolation, as spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in a holy place, let the reader use discernment, in parentheses. Then let those in Judea begin fleeing to the mountains. Let the man on the housetop not come down and not take the goods out of his house. And let the man in the field not return to his field to pick up his outer garment. Interesting words. What caught my attention in this was actually verse 15. When you catch sight of the disgusting thing that causes desolation, standing in a holy place, then let those in Judea begin fleeing to the mountains. I saw that in a very literal way. Back in when this happened in the first century, it was 67 CE, the Roman armies came in, that they laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. And then for some unknown reason, they dug under the city wall and came up inside of the most holy of the temple in all places to come up inside. And then for some reason, after they breached the city through a tunnel, they left. They pulled up stakes and left. And the first century historian Josephus believes that they came down with cholera, and that's why the armies left. Well, that was a sign to all of those people who followed Jesus' words to flee Jerusalem and head to the mountains. When did this happen? What did we see here? In 2013, on 3/13/13, we saw the Holy Roman Catholic Church, have a new pope elected, Pope Benedict. I'm sorry, no, it was Gergoglio. Benedict was the replacement. He resigned. And I just went blank in Gergoglio's Pope Francis, I guess is what he actually took up. Francis Peter. And there was so much written about that. And that was an interesting time that happened, because during this time period is also when we had four lunar eclipses and four solar eclipses, all on Jewish holidays. Nisan 14 was two. That's Passover, also the death of Jesus. I believe Rosh Hashanah. I forget exactly which ones. I know Nisan first was one for a solar eclipse. And it was interesting because it mimics another prophecy. We're going to see the sun darken in sackcloth of hair and the moon turn to blood. We kind of did four blood moons, the tetrad blood moons. And during this time, and I watched Pope Francis like a hawk watched a mouse in a field at the time, because come on, 3/13/13, what kind of numbers are those? Anyway, on October 2nd of 2013, Pope Francis came out with a 41-page treatise. I read that at least two or three, in some places four times. That treatise became the backbone of the post-2015 agenda. Hello, where are we post-2015? Now, the interesting thing was that in 2015, at the end of the last of the tetrad blood moons, we saw the Pope come to America. The first country that had church and state separation. Why? Because churches make kings. Churches create monarchs. The Holy Roman Catholic Church created virtually every monarch in Europe. Think about it. Think about it. And so who do the monarchs answer to? You see, oddly enough, we're back in Revelation 17. The Babylon the Great, the whore that rides a royal governmental wild beast made up of seven heads and ten horns, the scarlet colored wild beast, and the eighth springs from the seventh. So everything is connected. It's all connected. But what we actually saw was not did the Pope just come to America, but the first place he had a public appearance was right at Congress. Why is the Pope telling our Congress what to do? Speaker of the House, John Bonner, was sitting behind the Pope and he broke into tears and he resigned his position. In my personal opinion, he was the only patriot in Congress that knew where this country was going to be driven to, and he didn't want any part of it anymore. Your money's dirty. I know what you're going to do. I'm out. The next place we saw the Pope have a public address was at the White House. And the Pope and Obama yucking it up in the White House. Oh, yes. And then right where it started, Independence Hall in Philadelphia, where the Constitution was signed. We the people stand up against tyranny. We're done. And the Pope stood in that place too. And gave his address to the people of the United States, all under an approaching blood moon, the last of the tetrads. I saw the Pope standing in America's holy places, telling the American government what to do, telling the American people what to do, telling those who have a connection with the founding fathers of America, right where it all started, we reject your rules. He told the people what to do. And then he went to the General Assembly of the United Nations and he told the world what to do as they adopted the post-2015 development agenda. And when the General Assembly closed, it closed under the tetrad blood moon. I believe it was September 29th, 2015. When I saw that, along with a bunch of other things that were going on, but when I saw that, it was time for me personally to head to the mountains. At that time, I lived in a close enough proximity to New York City where I could drive there. I lived and worked in that general area for 30 years, 40 years. I know what it's like. And when I saw that happen, a year later, I was in a different state with a lot less population. Because I realized it was actually the result of Hurricane Sandy. But I realized I've got 20 million people sitting off my front porch. Time to head to the mountains. That was 10 years ago. I live off-grid, and I'm happy to do it. I have a little plot of land, raise some vegetables on, grow some crops, love my taters. I've already made that transition. But a lot of people haven't. A lot of people weren't aware. They weren't awake. They didn't see the disgusting thing which causes desolation standing in a holy place. They didn't have the knowledge of the scriptures. They didn't have the knowledge of the prophecies. When I saw that, it was interesting. In 2 months, we were already in negotiations for land, and in 4 months it was closed. And now there was a place to flee to in the mountains. Now it's interesting. In the first century, those Jews who fled to the mountains, that they reestablished themselves. They set themselves up in business. That they became part of the community in which they were living. And when the Roman armies came back in 70 CE, General Titus laid siege to the city of Jerusalem, caught them right during Passover. Nobody could get in or out for 3 months. Over 2 million people were in the city. They were put to death. About 90 to 93,000 were taken captive back to Rome. Josephus said the blood was flowing in the streets and was literally putting fires out. That's how much killing went on. The Romans laid siege. 3 months, no food. Little water, no resistance. And Jesus was right, not a stone was left upon a stone of the temple. And where the temple was is not where the Dome of the Rock is. It's not, or it wasn't. Whether they stick it there, that's another story. But it was actually located about a quarter of a mile away at the Pool of Siloam. They know where it was because of where the pool is. That pool's been there since time and eternity. Anyway, the idea is to get out of the dangerous place and reestablish yourself in an area that you can prosper in before total devastation comes. And it's time to look around at our environment and what are we facing? And like I said, if you can't get out, then at least put a plan together should something really bad happen that you can get out. Have a to-go bag ready. Yeah, we've talked about this since time immemorial, it seems like. But, you know, I haven't heard it talked about in quite a while. And if you don't know what a to-go bag is, go get yourself a backpack and put all the pertinent things that you have that need to go in there that you can grab. Be able to sling on your back and ride away with the on a bicycle with or walk away with. Something that you can snatch quick. Grab your papers, put them in the bag, have some a change of clothes, have food in the bag, some basic necessities, and head for the hills. Leave the city and do not look back. If you have, you know, at that juncture, you're a little more than a refugee. But if you have family that live in the suburbs or in rural areas, you know, say hello, remember us? What's your alternative, boy? I remember you. What are you up to now? No, we should, you know, family becomes very important at this juncture. Very important. And families have been scattered all over the place. You think for a reason? Used to be once upon a time, everybody lived in the same town. You grew up in that town, and you died in that town. Not anymore. We're scattered. Families have been scattered to the wind. In most cases, not all, but in most cases, we went to school, we got educated, moved to different parts of the country for more advantageous wages. I know some people personally, and I was in that position once where I was looking at going to work for a company that, yeah, part of my time was going to be spent in Europe, part in the United States, but the money was good. The company car was a BMW and not the little one. But that was a long, long time ago. So, you know, we're part of a product of the environment in which we live because we've created it. And if we have vulnerabilities, now is the time to create the answers to the vulnerabilities. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, first you have to have the knowledge that, something's up. And now if you're living in New York City and you're wondering, how the heck did this happen? Hey, Guido, what happened here? I thought Cuomo was going to be a shoo-in. What in the world's going on? You don't think it could be that election fraud stuff, do you? Come on. Come on. How'd this guy get in there? Yeah. How'd he get in there? Who were the powers behind him? Were they powers from outside of this country? Could there have been some sort of election fraud from out of the Far East? Maybe we'll find out. You know, Trump wants the way we change the way we do elections. He may have a loaded gun right now. You know, his connection with New York City is long. It's as long as mine is, so maybe longer. But probably longer. But one of us is a billionaire. The other one just is the Einstein of biblical prophecy. Let's see. They shall throw their gold and silver into the streets, for it will become an abhorrent thing for them. Okay. Yep. There's another prophecy. Take it to the bank, Mr. President. Take it to the bank. Because we're seeing these things work out. Trust me, we don't want to see the disasters yet, but that'll be further in the future. And I have a feeling things are going to get a whole lot more alien and before this is all over. And I'm not talking about the illegal kind. I'm talking about the off-planet kind. Yeah, we may see it turn a lot that way as time progresses. But I'm going to say, and I hate to give dates, but things are happening at an interesting pace, and you're going to hear me say this time and time again. We're heading for 2026. It was 2,000 years ago, two God days, that Jesus started his ministry in 29 CE, our common era, how we do our calculations now. However you want to look at it, it's all going to wind up somewhere in the fall of 2029. And then we have 3.5 years to 2033 and the time of the Passover and the memorial of Jesus' death. Keep doing this in memory of me until I return. Okay, so we're coming up upon some very interesting times. We still have to deal with what we've got at hand. So it's time to take stock. And how do you get out of the situation that you're in? The first thing you have to do is pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. You know, maybe it's time to learn. And it's not that hard. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. You can look it up in the scriptures. Maybe we'll read it, but we're kind of running out of time tonight. But prayer and meditation. Well, one of my big issues is, why doesn't the Bible teach you how to meditate? We're told, use prayer, discernment, use meditation. Well, okay, the Bible doesn't teach you how to meditate, but Jesus told you what to pray for. And they're kind of linked hand in hand. Because when we actually pray, we leave the state of beta. You know, you close your eyes, you tilt your head down, and you put your hands together. And now you've just closed your energy circuit. And so you've just gone internal. And because you closed your eyes, you just took yourself out of beta. And now you start your prayer. And that takes you down into alpha. Deep prayer and meditation will take you into theta. And I'll explain the differences there. But alpha is a good place to be. Theta, I enjoy. Theta, all the laws of the third dimension in which we live are gone. You can see through time, forward and back, as far as you want. You can see information that may or may not be available. This is where remote viewing takes place. This is where remote healing takes place. This is where we can heal ourselves. This is a power that was given to us by God, by Father Yahweh, who gave us tools that nobody taught us to use in order to create our future. I have studied this for years, and I finally came up with a formula on how to turn around and manifest. And do I do it all the time? No, I do it when I have to, when I need to, when it becomes necessary. And I've done it over the years, and it works. It's just you have to put that energy into it. And there's a short, simple formula. What is your intention? Everything starts off with intention. And how passionate are you about attaining that? How passionate are you about getting to that point? And then the third, and this is most important, how much love do you have for what you're doing, and how much love will you be creating for others? Because the more people you can help, the greater the reward. Think about it. Intention? What is your intention?
Oh, my intention is to pray that Trump gets the SNAP benefits turned back on.
If that's your intention, oh my goodness.
Well, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to go steal other people's food.
Really? Okay. Well, if that's how little intention that you have, I pray that anybody that you come in contact with is totally aware of what you're about to do so they can defend themselves. You see, what is your intention? If your intention is to get out of a dangerous place, then you look for the exit and you go. You're motivated because you're passionate about getting out of there. And guess what? You'll find a whole lot more love to where you're going than where you were. You know, there's only firemen run into burning buildings. And if that's the situation, you got to get out. Leave it to the firemen. Leave it to the military. Who's ever got to come in and put out that situation? But we don't want to get caught in the middle of insanity. Because once that happens, we are all in trouble. And so we'll look to a future. Maybe we'll talk about this more next week. But actually prayer and meditation and then applying it. And it works. It works in so many different ways on so many different levels. But the first thing that we have to do is let it work on us. as Jesus said, you can't go extract the splinter from your brother's eye unless you take the rafter out of your own first. A rafter is a huge beam. You build barns using rafters that they're usually about 10 inches by 10 inches or 8 by 8 square and, you know, 10, 12 feet long. And they're all put together very succinctly. But still, can you imagine having something that big in your eye? You're starting to, hey, brother, you got a little sprint there. I got one good eye. I can see it. I got to close this one anyway. No, that ain't going to work. We have to take care of us first. If we have things that we need to correct, then correct what we need to correct. You want to find out what things you need to correct? Be humble. Ask a good friend or ask a spouse. Honey, if I had to change something for the better, what would be the first thing that you would want me to change for the better? Not just because you want me to change, but you think I could, you know, be better in this one area. And then be open to what they say. Be humble about it. Is it legitimate? You know, are you having a serious conversation? And then work on that, because we tend to be blind to our own faults. I was told,
we'll believe that one, but yeah, we're blind to our own faults. It's God couldn't make us perfect, so he made us blind to our own faults, so we think we're perfect. We're not. And sometimes we don't know when we're having issues. Sometimes we have to deal with those first before we can move on.
So we have to create a love and a peace in our life that includes those around us, especially those who are important. When I moved off grid, it wasn't just for me. It wasn't just for me. My family was involved. You can't run away from anything and have success. You have to have something to run to. And that's where the power of intention lies. If you intend to do something, you're going to go do it. You know, something happens to one of your kids and you're going to go, you're going to have the intention to go deal with whatever needs to be dealt with in order to protect your children or your family or those close to you, or those you love. But how much better it would be to do something in peace and in a positive way where you don't have to react to a situation which could be terminal. You know, don't put yourself in a bad situation. And if you're in a situation, prayer, meditation, look for ways out. There are still, quote, miracles in our lives. Not that I believe in miracles, though, because that was one of the first things I threw out when I did my research. Miracles do not exist. It's just we don't comprehend, we don't understand how it happened. Yeah, direct the energy, it'll happen. Watch it happen before your eyes. We'll talk about this more maybe next week's show. But right now, we're coming to a conclusion here, and I do want to thank everybody for indulging me tonight. Hopefully, I can bring something across the table. If you want to know what's in a to-go bag, look it up online. But really, the most important things, when I started doing this 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, actually, it was closer to 15 years ago when I put my first to-go bag together, I put all the most important things that I needed in a secure place. And then I built my to-go bag on what I thought I would need for how long. Where was it going to go? Well, we had plans to all meet at a central place located in a remote area at the time. Where were we going to go from there? Well, we didn't have a place to go to, but at least we knew that we could all get together in this one location. So you're going to want essentials, batteries, flashlights. I always suggest, it used to be MREs, but no, you want dehydrated food. The biggest thing a life straw. Look it up. They're basically a large straw. You can go up to a puddle in a Walmart parking lot and suck it dry and not contaminate your body. It filters out like 99.999% of all the nasty stuff. But you're better finding using moving water. But yeah, water, you're going to use a lot of it. You can't carry that much, but you can carry a life straw. So those are the big things. With that, please hit the subscribe button, hit the bell. Remember to tell your friends that, hey, go back and listen to the archives. You know, this is going to be very good information as time goes forward, especially the more we learn, the more we know. And so love and blessings to all. Be sure to listen to the other shows. Tomorrow night, we got the Positude podcast coming up at 8 o'clock right here on Trim Radio Network. And on Saturday night at 9 o'clock, we've got the Red Pill Reality Show with Riscola Stevens. Maggie Hart does the Positude podcast. And I am your host tonight, Peter Kling, as always. Love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic week. We'll be right back here again next week, same time, same place. So I think that brings, we might have more time. We're supposed to put an hour show on and we started late. Hey, Mr. Producer Man, what are we doing?
You got, keep going.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not signing off the air yet. Good. We'll talk. While you're here, Risco, what were the things that you had mentioned about New York City?
5,000, over 5,000. I know it's at least 5,000 police officers resigning effective January. $1.3 billion in real estate has gone up for sale. That's just among the few things that New Yorkers are welcoming with this new guy coming in.
Have you heard, and thank you for that, have you heard anything about this guy, how he got into office?
I hope that they do an investigation. I know for a fact that he has a lot of Soros money behind him. It may not be directly from Soros, but it's Soros money when you look at the root of it all.
Yeah, that's what I had heard as well. There was quite a few million dollars that were funneled into New York City, right, into this, somewhere around, was it $100 million he pumped in? That's not going to be too hard to trace. Yeah, and so think about that. So if this actually is allowed to legitimize itself, George Soros, or his son, George Soros is long dead, but his son or the Soros Foundation or wherever that money is coming from, it's a front for the Rothschilds regardless. They just bought New York City for $100 million. So I find that quite interesting, you know. Boy, it takes you back to the days of the Dutch. $24, you figure in inflation. Yeah, Soros did, but when you figure in inflation for the beads that the Dutch sold the Americans, the Indians back in the 1600s, what were those chest of beads worth? That'd have some dollar value. What would that equate to today with inflation? Soros may have paid less money than the Dutch did. Who knows? So hopefully this will all work out. I do understand that Trump is going to issue a national emergency sooner or later that has to do with elections. And he's going to, this is what he wants to change. He wants to paper ballots only. Same day voting, same day count, right at the location, right at that precinct or that voting center, and then the votes tallied and reported. One day voting, no more mail-in ballots. And this might be the springboard off of that. I saw a short video of some guy put on the, I'm not sure where it was posted, what was one of a conglomeration of videos, but this guy had his cell phone out and he's questioning these two people going into an election center carrying two like shopping bags full of, you say, are those ballots in there? Those ballots? And they would not talk to him. But the, based on the weight of what was in the packages or in these bags, I would say, yeah, they were probably stacked with paper of some kind. It didn't look like groceries to me. So, you know, if they were taking those in, you know, they went drop boxes, whatever the case might be. That would explain, let's face it, that video that's probably still out there where Biden said we put the best, a world-class election fraud team into place, basically. There's no way that we can lose. Well, he didn't put that out, but he made reference to his election rigging team. So, yeah, we're going to find out more about that as time goes on. I would imagine that the next 6 months from now until probably May, we're going to see a lot of turmoil going on. So New York City just might be the you know, tip of the spear, so to speak. There's a lot of places with a lot of problems, and they're going after these cartels, and the cartels are linked to politicians and right down to, depending on where you are, that there's, over the last week, there's been several, one in New Hampshire, the assistant to the governor, him and his cronies were busted as being part of the cartel, Sinaloa cartel, I think it may have been. Same thing with somebody down in Georgia, outside of Atlanta, I guess, one of the mayors down there, forgot who the heck it was, wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention, but they got busted too. So now that's where the infiltration goes, is right to, you know, our local municipalities. And it's there. These people are being busted with huge amounts of drugs, and usually drugs, money, and weapons. They all go together. So you have to see, you know, nonsense can happen anywhere at any time. And when you live in a most vulnerable area, you have to focus on what you need to do. Yeah. It was once said, there are no atheists in foxholes. And if you don't know what a foxhole is, look it up. But that's basically a quick hole that a soldier would dig when they were trying to take a beach during World War II in order to get out from under the enemy fire. And you're praying as you're digging, God save me. I've seen it happen. Not that exact same situation, but people being, myself included, being put in a no-win situation, then all of a sudden a reversal happens. And it's like, wow. Thank you, Father. You know? Those things do happen. But it comes back down to the power of intention. How passionate are you about how intent you are about doing something? Does it drive at your heart? And then who's it going to help besides you? You got to help yourself and at least one other person. But the more people you can help, the more love that gets spread, the more support there is for what you want to do, and the better the chances are to accomplish your goal, to accomplish your intention. And, you know, the bigger the number of people that we can affect in a positive way, we get those positive thoughts. Hey, I wish you well with your new venture. But it's all in front of what we need to do so we can put it into our past. Always have a vision for the future. Create your future and don't look back. Another interesting thing, when Lot was told to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Actually, him and his two daughters and his wife were taken by the hand and led outside the city and told, run and don't look back. And Lot's wife looked back. She started to see the destruction, and it was like watching a car wreck. You just can't believe it's actually happening. And that action actually is what hurt her, what killed her. Hey, thank you very much, Riscola. With that, I'm going to say, remember to hit the like, share, and send us out to your friends, and become a listener of Trim Radio Network. Make a donation, keep us on the air. We always enjoy that. And listen to the other shows that we have, Positive Podcast tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Red Pill Reality at 9, and the others I haven't memorized yet, 9 on Saturday. And, of course, be with us here every Thursday, 9 o'clock, for Revelation. With that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic week.